Just because of where I've been at with my studies and stuff, I kind of changed everything last minute today as I was looking up some stuff. So we're gonna do something a little bit different, but not really, because it's the same kind of message that I gave sort of on Sunday, and then from last week as well, because we've been in the first I am the bread of life, right, for a while now. And so before we go into the second I am that's declared by Christ, we are, which is I am the light of the world, we're going to dive in a little bit into this whole idea of we're in Holy Week right now, and how the scriptures are for our education, especially to show the foreshadowing and the types and the things that are fulfilled in Christ as Messiah. So we can relate a lot from that story in Exodus to what we are experiencing now and what we can look forward to in Christ. So we're going to go first to Exodus chapter 6. And I will read Verse 6 and 7. We know that prior to this being spoken to Moses by the Lord, that God delivered the Israelites from Egypt out of bondage, right? And how God made a covenant or a promise with the people of Israel, just as he has made a promise to us in a new covenant in Christ Jesus, right? So I'll read 6. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Those judgments are for the people, not against the people. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am, which is the name of the Lord expressed in the Old Testament, I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage or an inheritance. I am the Lord. So in here, we will see the story make sense in our life in the here and now, right? As we observe these things. Now in Exodus, the Lord says 4 things here in these couple of verses. I will bring you out. I will rid you of your bondage or your slavery. I will redeem you, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. So those 4 things are represented in the Passover meal of the 4 cups that are partaken of during the Passover meal. So when Jesus is calling the disciples to the Last Supper, they already know and have this passed down to them, and it makes sense to them, right? They see the image or the shorthand version that is fulfilled in the fulfillment of Christ in his life, and especially in these days of partaking of the Passover. Now, hidden within the Seder Passover, which the Jews celebrated, in that meal is Easter's Resurrection Sunday. And we find in this story the deepest meaning of what it is to partake of and be a part of the Easter or Resurrection Sunday life as we look back and as we look to Jesus and as we look forward into the future as well. So So the first four cups are the cup of sanctification. Don't forget, this is wine we are speaking of. And we see many references to wine, which if you want to look it up, you'll find all kinds of things that wine means. You know, it means healing, it means crushing, it means we're in the vineyard. He's the vine dresser, all of those things. So that's something that you can, you know, generate in your own studies. But it is really interesting to even study one word or one subject in the scriptures and see what develops, you know. And last Sunday, when Pastor Oz was talking about when he had talked to Tim about noticing one thing or one thing in a word that's given that means something to you or that catches your attention, that it's very worthwhile to pursue that on your own. And so we need to get beyond just reading the scriptures at face value and start studying the scriptures. Now, if you are not a studious kind of person and you know, you don't want to get out a Strong's Concordance or Greek and Hebrew, and you know, it's just too much, it's too cerebral, or whatever. Honestly, it is as easy as going on the internet and Google, what did wine represent in the Old Testament, say, for instance. So, I mean, we have that at our disposal. That's the redemptive part of social media, okay? So, I would encourage you when things grab your heart to pursue it, you know, further, and you'll be richer for it. Okay, so the first cup is the cup of sanctification. I will bring you out. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. I will rid you of your bondage and slavery. The third is the cup of redemption. I will redeem you, as in Exodus chapter 6 here. And the fourth cup was the cup of praise. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Okay. Now, that first cup, I will bring you out, I will deliver you, was to the Israelites' issue of slavery, right? And there were a lot of bitter tears. And imagine 400 years that they waited for this deliverance. So who knows? Just like people that come to Christ now, sometimes they're just hopeless and they're tired of waiting. You know what I mean? Or they give up or they forget what they already knew from the scriptures, from the Old Testament. So they're not anticipating the fulfillment in the coming Messiah, right? I mean, people are all different places in their journey of life. Okay, so we know that Israel was given a great name and had a great purpose, right? Now, that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the church is the new Israel, and we are given a great name, the bride, right? And a great purpose, which is his kingdom purposes. So I want you just to kind of use your imagination, try to, you know, correlate these things so that it brings something cohesive to your spirit. So our purpose and our calling is to be a light to the nations. Now, originally that was spoken to Israel, right? But now we see that the church is to be the light to the nations, and Israel right now is blinded by Messiah's coming. And I believe in the future that that will be part of the last days coming together, that they will recognize Messiah. And it says in the scriptures, they will mourn for the one that they had pierced. But their delay has been our blessing. Right now, original, and let me give you a reference for that, Isaiah 42, verse 6. And it just describes Israel being a light to the Gentiles. That was the original intent of God when he called Israel to himself to be his own people was that they had a purpose and a calling to be a light to the nations. Now, we know that the nations in that day were steeped in idolatry and paganism and all manner of darkness, right? But we also know, too, that there was a failure in many of the Hebrews to recognize when Jesus came as a light to not only Israel, but to the Gentiles. And it is our purpose as being called God's nation, now the church, to be a light to the nations or a light to the world. Okay. There's also another reference. You can write this down, and I'm hoping that you guys will start looking at these afterwards, you know, after classes. Acts chapter 13, verse 47, and Isaiah 49, verse 6. That is the scripture. It says, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So this was God's original intent, was that Israel would bring about the nations to salvation to the ends of the earth. And we know that because of the fall of man and sin in the world, that it was impossible to do, right? To be perfect. In that call of God, and that we have Jesus, because we cannot do it in our own humanity and strength. We can't save ourselves, right? And I think we still have a lot of this in us where we want to work things out ourselves. And what it takes is humility and faith in the things that God says about us, that they are true. He doesn't lie. You know, you are in the beloved, right? You are a light like he is a light. Okay, so Israel was delivered from bondage, and the miracle that Messiah came through David's line is incredible, right? Now, going back to the second cup was the cup of deliverance. Jesus as Messiah became our atonement versus judgment that comes through the law. That is the new covenant, is what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. And I really hope that this isn't just information for you, but that you start having and developing an inspiration to really value the revelation of what it cost Jesus, especially in this time of Passover, right? What it cost Jesus to atone for us and how he made a way. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Verses 8 through 15. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through him, we shall be saved from God's judgment. Right? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, right, original sin, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, we know there's the original creation of Adam, and that Jesus is called the second Adam, or he is the one that is the perfect Adam, totally perfect in his humanity, and also, too, 100% God. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, that's the sin of Adam, all through the generations, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So there is a difference between finding God's mercy and finding God's grace, okay? Mercy is not getting what your sins deserved, right? Grace is not only that, but that God himself went out of his way to give us not only what we didn't deserve, but to give us something good. And that's what he did in giving us Christ Jesus as our Savior. You know, we're not only just forgiven, we are given a fulfilling, abundant life in Christ Jesus. And so I think sometimes we really do get caught into the law, not realizing it in our performance and self-effort, where we really need to understand that as a human being, we cannot do what only God himself could do and does do. Okay. Let's look. I'll just give you the reference. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Now, going back, when God called Israel as a favored people, right, as his own people, as his own nation, Israel could not rest on their status as God's people, of being God's people, and neither can we. We have a high calling in being believers, but we cannot rest in our status as children of God or daughters of the King alone, right? That we can't rest in our status as being adopted by the Father. We must be able to give away that which God has given us. And that is what the calling was for Israel. And it's our calling as well in reaching the lost. That it's not good enough that we are saved when others are unsaved. We really need to seek the very heart of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and realize that it isn't anything that we have done. It is all in Jesus, and we have a responsibility to be that holy nation or the church, the bride of Christ, to relay the love of God and the grace of God to a dying world. So Israel had to respond to God's method, right? Just as we do. His ways are not our ways. They had to submit and surrender to the slaying of the Passover lamb. They were spared from the 10th plague, the angel of death passing through by putting the blood of the lamb on their homes. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday. But we are not to dictate to God, and neither could Israel rest in their status and dictate to God how he was supposed to work things out. Right? They got delivered, and they had to sacrifice the lamb. And they had to make preparation to go. And they had to, when they would have the lamb as their Passover supper in the original time that it was happening, they had to eat the entire lamb. So there was a certain number, and I believe it was maybe 10 that had to be in a household so that you would make sure that it was all taken in. We have to consume all of Jesus, not just the good parts. We have to take the rough suffering things too. Jan and I were talking last week about just how God is a God of balance, and it isn't anybody that goes one way or another is missing the point, because God delights in a just balance. We are to understand mercy and judgment. We are to understand light and dark. We are to understand these things, right? And because his ways are not our ways. So when we have that calling, how many of a lot of people just confess they're believers, but they never live it out. It doesn't become something like that lamb that they've consumed every part of it, right? We know the Lamb of God is Jesus, right? And what about what are we required of, and how do we respond to the Lord as his nation, as his church? We are to respond by picking up our cross daily. That means every day we make a choice, right? Are we going to do it God's way, or are we going to do it our own way? And we have a good tendency as human beings to avoid suffering, to deny or avoid or run away from or whatever, or justify where we're at or whatever. But that is what is our response is to pick up our cross daily, and actually to die daily. And that doesn't mean physical death, you guys know that, but it means laying down your life, not only for your friends, but for your enemies. That's the new covenant. It's a different, they didn't have to do that under the law. Eye for eye, whatever, tooth for tooth. And here's Jesus, turn the other cheek, right? So the third cup is the cup of redemption, and it is the first cup that is drank after the Passover meal. It is believed that Jesus instructed the disciples to partake of this third cup at the Last Supper. Okay, let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 27. Okay, we know that we often pray these prayers, right? During communion. Let's see, 27. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins." Okay, that's the third cup of redemption that Jesus told them to partake of after the meal, after the lamb is, eaten. And they go through all the other traditional things. So Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." I don't, now that is not in my translation. Does anybody have that in their translation? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Can you read it just out loud? Okay. Okay. Drink. Oh, yeah. Here it is. 27. Drink from it. I'm sorry. Drink from it, all of you. It was hidden. Drink from it, all of you. Now, Jesus here is addressing his disciples, all of you. Everyone here, you drink the blood of the covenant. But that's corporate, right? What about drink from it, all of you? Every bit of you, Louise, every bit of you, Mary, every bit of you, all of you, your whole being, drink from it all. That's my point. So we have both the corporate here in all to his disciples and all of you individually as individuals. And the reference there is also Luke 22, verse 15. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, and then the next cup is the cup of redemption, which is signifying the slaying of the Passover lamb, remember, because they were spared from that 10th plague, which was the firstborn will die. Now we know that the firstborn that were under the blood over their home was that they were passed by the angel of death, but the firstborn of Egypt they died, you know. So a lot of times we have a focus on the bad news, right? Your firstborn will die, declared by Pharaoh, which represents Satan. And we focus on that, on the enemy's lies, instead of focusing on what God did and what God does and what he is doing. Right? I've really felt this really strong in my heart this week, you know, we need to encourage one another to focus on what God is doing and not what hasn't been done. To focus on the redemptive part of every situation rather than the negative part. And see, the enemy likes to flip that on us, right? And it's so easy. I mean, I was telling Jan the other day, I am tempted. This is my temptation to discouragement when I look at the body of Christ and I see what's lacking and I see what's not. And see, God reminded me, you need to recognize what I am doing. You need to look beyond what you see that's wrong and have a vision for something else beyond what you see. Because discernment is, it's true. When you have discernment, you see how things are. But that is limiting when we don't have the addition and the impetus to have vision to pull out the precious from the worthless like God does. It's very important. And if you ever want to pray for me, you can pray for me for that. Because as leaders, we know every wrong thing that's going on. And that's why it's hard. You know, I mean, you guys don't know the ins and outs of everything that pastor has to bear, right? I mean, you have an inkling, I know, because you pray for them. But sometimes it's on the scale of, I mean, it's taking us down. You know what I'm saying? And we need encouragement. We need prayer to balance that scale. We need, you know, we need support. And we need trust in the fact that we want the best for you. And God wants the best for you, regardless if it comes in a way of a word or maybe correction, you know, or good counsel. How many times do people come in for counseling and they leave the same way that they came in? They just want to puke, but they don't want to get better, right? So, you know, I'm just saying that because it's been on my heart. So if it doesn't witness with you, that's fine. Okay, so the cup of redemption traditionally remembers how God redeems Israel with an outstretched arm. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants us to remember him, whether it's at the supper table, having communion, or just in our daily lives. We are to remember him, that he is good. He's a good, good father. And that he has outstretched arms towards us. He doesn't look at what we see as unworthy, because when he looks at us, all he sees, like the Passover, is the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus makes us all right with God, past, present, and future. That's amazing. That's something to be celebrated. Okay. In Matthew 26, like we saw, verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant. This is Jesus speaking, which the new covenant is grace, right? Which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, prior to, we know that in the Old Testament, sacrifices had to be made in order to bring about atonement for Israel, right? But now, in the new covenant, fulfilled in Christ Jesus, that sacrifice has been made for all eternity. It's the center of all human history, and it is a new covenant of grace. And again, what happened before was temporary because they would have to do the sacrifice again the next year and then the next year. If you find yourself repenting for the same thing over and over again, you're under the law. Unless, of course, here's the caveat, you're dealing with stuff on a deeper and broader level. That's a different story. But if you're always going to the Lord about how unworthy you are because you did fill in the blank, you're under the law because chances are you're suffering shame, rejection, right? Condemnation. Whenever you're feeling condemned, I can guarantee you, you're under the law. And we need to be shifting our attention to the grace of God. Like I said, mercy, you're forgiven. Grace, you're forgiven. You're given everything you need. You're given something good from God. It's not measured, it's abundant, you know? Okay. Just as the blood of the Passover lamb covered believing Hebrews. Now, they were believing Hebrews. So the blood of Jesus covers all, both Jew and Gentile. The blood of Jesus covers all believers today. Hallelujah. Now, the fourth cup was the cup of praise. And when that cup is drunk, how do you say that? When you're drinking the fourth cup, that's when there was singing and rejoicing for us, worship. That Israel was made a nation, and we are singing and rejoicing that the church is made a nation, a people belonging to God. Now, during that cup, the leader that's doing the ceremony of their traditional Seder during Passover says, the Lord has remembered me. It kind of reminds you of and echoes, you know, do this in remembrance of me, right? In Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, there's another reference. There's hope that God will forgive and restore. Now, this I thought was really interesting, just weaving back into the bread of life. I am the bread of life. During Passover, they had unleavened bread, right? Because there was no time to prepare and let, you know, bread rise and all that stuff. So it was quick and they took it with them. They had to leave Egypt quickly. We know the parting of the Red Sea and all that. And in the tradition, the bread or the matzah was broken into three pieces. This is cool. Originally it was two, but now it's three. But the matzah was broken into three pieces, and the middle piece was wrapped in linen and hidden away and then brought back later. Isn't that cool image of Jesus wrapped in linen? Taken away and brought back again. Oh, that's so cool. And the fact that He is in the center. He's in the middle. And look, he was in the center of the two thieves as well. There's so many biblical images that just can excite your spirit for just searching God out. Like, he is a treasure, man, you know, and it's so worthwhile, you know, treasure. You got a map here, right? You got the scriptures, you got the Holy Spirit, and you know what? You can find all kinds of things that are just, I mean, we're going to do this, guys, for eternity. We're going to always be learning. We're going to always be learning. So practice now. Practice now in getting into the scriptures, you know, praying, those kinds of things, you know. So I just thought that was so cool, that middle piece of matzah, the unleavened without sin, so to speak, that yeast, you know, kind of image of sin, without sin, is hidden away, wrapped up, hidden away, like in a tomb, and brought back. It's a foreshadowing of Christ's death and resurrection. I just think that's incredible. Now, the bread, I want to say this, but I'm going to have to probably spell it. It was called Afikomen, Afikomen, and it is the connection in the Old Testament to the coming one, which was a messianic title. And those three pieces of the matzah or the bread were also representative of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Isaac prefiguring Christ's sacrifice. We know Isaac was put on the altar, or, you know, and spared, but it's also an image of the coming Messiah putting in that place of death for our sakes. Okay, now I am almost done. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of references, and then you can look these up. How many of you guys came knowing you were going to get homework? Okay, John 17, 19. Messiah sanctifies us. John 8, 32. Messiah delivers us. Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 5, Messiah redeems us. John 15, verse 11, Messiah is our joy. So you can see each one of these things is what God promised to Moses about the Israelites, and is also the symbols of the things that the Passover cups represented as well. And then next week we will begin, hopefully, unless I keep going somewhere, I don't know. I don't know, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, I have this whole message for I am the light of the world, and I didn't even get to it today. But I'm just going to leave you with that. When Jesus spoke to the people saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So that's where we're headed, hopefully. And I do want to just mention that the ministry, Chosen People Ministries, is where I got most of the information that I shared today. And another site, which is a Israelite reference, which I don't have on me. I'm sorry, I forgot to write it down. But if I remember, I'll write it down so you can look it up if you want to. But anyways, that's it for me. I just really pray that the Lord really moves on us during this week, you know, and that, you know, look, we went through the praise of Jesus all throughout the last couple weekends at the church, right? We were glorified God. We worshiped God. God moved mighty. And it reminds me of when Jesus came and everyone was saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. And they Praising, but you know, we got a ways to go yet. We got to go through this week with the sobering fact of Passover and then the celebration of his resurrection. And that just as he went through, look, we've been built up so that we can get through whatever's coming our way and then see God resurrect. That just as he walked, we will walk also. So thank you all. God bless you.